Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 25, that second paragraph, "The great fact is just this and nothing less," through one paragraph ending, "which we could never do by ourselves." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 steps, Lucy M., 12 traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Julie E. B., Alex K., and Leslie M. The reference number for Tuesday, March 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,292. That's 23292. And for this morning, Wednesday, March 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,294. That's 23294. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Kathleen W., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting for our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Lucy M. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Lucy M., recovered compulsive overeater from Oregon. The 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary M. And I'll now ask Mary P. Thank you so much, Lucy M. And I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement Her OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 25, the second paragraph. The great fact is just this and nothing less, through one paragraph ending, which we could never do by ourselves. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Julie E.B. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Julie. Star one, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The great fact is just this and nothing less. We have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, which has revolutionized our entire attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. Well, thank you for letting me share. I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater and undereater, and this is a miracle. The way the deep and effective spiritual experiences happened for me is that someone walked into a meeting. They had that light in their eyes and their voice. They told me about this phone meeting. I started listening to meetings. They met with me. We identified abstinent foods, ingredients, and behaviors, and we just started reading this book. I would read and highlight before, and then we just go over it word by word. And in the course of doing that word by word, I had an amazing experience happen to me, which was that different sections grabbed me. Self-pity surrounded me like quicksand. It grabbed me. It became a spiritual learning experience. Another spiritual learning experience that grabbed me was where it said we came to the point where there was no middle of the road solution. We can either continue on as best we could, blotting out our Intalba situation or seek spiritual help. My Intalba situation was life just felt like it was happening to me. I had no place in life. And so I sought spiritual help. It said if I was honest, open, willing. So I just kept looking and looking. And finally, right in front of those 12 steps, I came to a point where it says, we ask for God's care and protection with complete abandon. I looked up the word complete. It meant full. And finally, I realized I could be full, not of the food, not of self-will, but full of giving up, having run my course completely, and that I had a more loving, higher power than a lower power voice in myself that was always putting me down. This has revolutionized my whole attitude towards life. I have a peaceful marriage that I thought I would have to get out of. I have relationships with kids that I hurt when I was in this food and disease, and now we have a connection. But with the Creator entering my heart's, whatever you call your higher power, I have a more loving force today, and that is indeed miraculous. This here is the first prayer that I encourage my sponsees to pray from the first page. It's a promise and a prayer. God, please do for me what I can't do for myself. It means me admitting that I can't do it myself. So this is the starting point for me. And whenever I'm just at the bottom, I just lay flat on my face and say, God, do for me what I can't do for myself. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much. Beautiful way to get us started, Julie. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Alex K.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Alex K., Wendy B.
Larry G.
Sally A.
Larry G.
Paul R.
And I got Paul R.
Sally A.
Paul R. Okay, let me tell you who I have, because there were some voices in there that I did not catch. Okay, I have Alex K., Wendy B., Paul R., Larry G., and I didn't get the ones after that.
Christina
Sally
J.
A.
Okay, I have Christina J. And was that Sally A.?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So Alex K., Wendy B., Paul R., Larry G., Christina J., Sally A., who else?
Joy M.B., California.
Joy M.B. Did I miss someone else? Okay, let's stop there. That's a fantastic lineup. Alex K., Wendy B., Paul R., Larry G., Christina J., Sally A., Joy M.B. Alex K., please start us off, followed by Wendy B.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K., compulsive eater in California, given a reprieve for today. I have had a deep and effective spiritual experience, a psychic change, which means the way I think about myself and others in life, the way I interact with people, the way I treat myself. I'm much kinder to myself, more comfortable in my skin, learning to be true to myself and practice self-compassion, the way I treat others. All my relationships are better. I communicate better. I can be honest, thoughtful, less self-centered. The way I show up in the world, I keep my commitments. I have integrity. I see others as fellow humans, just like me. I'm part of instead of separate from. The way I handle problems and challenges, I don't panic the way I used to or feel unable to cope with a problem. The way I handle problems and challenges, yeah, is so different. All of these things are completely different than when I first started. And most importantly, the way I think about a higher power, which I didn't believe in or want to believe in the beginning. And yet today I have this amazing connection with my loving, compassionate higher power. I really feel as if I've been transformed. I have an entirely new outlook. My brain is forming new neural pathways, and the spiritual experiences continue every day. If I wasn't experiencing it myself, I wouldn't believe it. It's such a miraculous gift, this new way of life. It's like having a superpower. I know that no matter what happens, I'm okay. I have is designed for living, and my higher power that can see me through any difficulty and give me the answers to all my problems. Knowing this gives me such peace and comfort. I'm never alone, and I always have what I need. I'm always safe and protected. And it means I don't have to go to food for ease and comfort. I enjoy my abstinent meals and feel completely satisfied. I eat to live rather than live to eat. Instead of food being the center of my life, my higher power is the center of my life. I take time each morning and throughout the day to connect with my higher power and nurture this most important relationship in my life. When that connection is good, then everything else goes better. When I have a problem, I don't think about compulsively eating. What a miracle. I rely on my program and my higher power for help. I seek spiritual nourishment. That's what fills me up. And this is all evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. My life is so much richer and fuller and happier and more peaceful. And doesn't mean it's perfect, but it's so much better and keeps getting better. It's an exciting journey. Thanks for being on it with me. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Wendy B., it's your turn, followed by Paul R.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I love the wording, you know, in this paragraph, you know, a deep and effective spiritual experience that has revolutionized my whole attitude toward life, others, and God. And, I mean, I love the word effective because it's real changes that have happened, you know. And, you know, this miraculous change has occurred in me, you know, as a result of working this spiritual program. And, you know, and I'm certain God has entered my life and rearranged my motives and my priorities. You know, I'm moving away from self-will toward God-reliance. I've experienced peace and serenity and neutrality. And, you know, they've replaced my previous obsessive thoughts and actions. And, you know, I'm learning to respond to situations as God would have me, you know, pausing and getting clarity and then doing the next right, you know, indicated action instead of being triggered and reacting inappropriately. And another big change is the security that I feel deep inside, you know, of my Savior's unconditional love and his all-knowing and wise control of all things. And, you know, and I'm not alone trying to manage everything myself, trying to control and manage outcomes. You know, I've learned to relax and, you know, and stay present in the moment and trust him with the outcomes. You know, he knows the future, so I don't need to worry or be anxious. And I'm learning how to detach with love, how to respect my loved ones' choices and allow the natural outcomes of their choices to impact them instead of trying to save them from their pain. And I honor their autonomy, you know, and set boundaries around me and how much negative impact I allow to affect me. And, you know, and God has given my life meaning and purpose. And, you know, and I can see how he uses everything, you know, even my mistakes for my growth and my good. And, you know, these are just, you know, some of the things, you know, that he commenced doing for me that I couldn't do for myself. And, you know, and to sum it up, you know, he's helping me live with serenity, eat with sanity, and love others without trying to control them. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Paul R., it's your turn, followed by Larry G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R. I'm recovering from a hopeless state of mind and body today. Compulsive eater, one day at a time. I'm just really grateful for to be in this meeting and surrounded by spiritual giants who's trudging this road of happy destiny. And what a great paragraph. You know, it tells me so much things, like, you know, that the pain and the sorrow that I was coming from, and like, you know, whatever happened to me, I didn't know what was wrong with me. And, you know, this paragraph is just putting it really well together, that it's a fact, means it's like, it's a proven, it's reality. I can start believing in, because it's true, that I have to have a speech, effective spiritual experience. And then I'm going to be able to, like, see life and see reality as is, not stop believing in a lie, what my alcoholic mind is telling me. And, you know, just stop being a servant to this so powerful voice within my head that I still have. And, you know, like, if I want to have spiritual experience, which is technically, like, it's a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism, compulsive overeating, I'm able to feel, believe, and do things I could never do alone on my own strength before. Like, going through the steps, like, able to see it from a different perspective, not from a self-Kirk perspective, and not about what about me, and those self-pity and just a lot of self, and getting out of actually, like, able to see it from a compassionate, kind, and loving way, that all these things, people, places, and situations, it wasn't personal. Actually, it was not personal. Whatever happened to my life, that, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater and I eat the way how I eat, it's not personal that what those things happened to me, and that's what I needed to understand. And those 12 steps is actually a doorway to be able to understand that and stop taking anything personal. Anything. And you know, I can feel love and patience and tolerance today, and I can feel compassionate today from another fellow and other man. And but I believe in things I had never believed in before. I believe in a God that is a kind and loving God, and He stands ready to help, and stands ready as a human being anywhere in the world, whoever is ready to give up the self. You know? And thanks for letting me to share the past.
Thank you so much, Paul R. from California. Larry G., it's your turn, followed by Christina J.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Dawn. Some really good shares this morning. Larry G. from California. You know, you can't make this stuff up. If you're new on this phone, you might be thinking, oh, you know, I can't see these people. I really can't trust what they're saying. But, you know, you can't make this stuff up. If we are, I mean, we're pretty good actors and we deserve Academy Award for our performances. But in my case, I can check off every one of those boxes. I had a deep, profound spiritual experience on May 18th, 2020, when I came into vision for you. But the rest of the spiritual experience have been more of the educational variety, and they've been small blessings. But nevertheless, my attitude on life, my outlook on life has been change profoundly. I'm not the same man. I actually did pick up a bed and started to walk as a free man. The bed was a couch in our living room. We looked out. We live in a midtown area, so our living area is in the front. And I'd watch people walk by, laughing and joking and having fun on a beautiful day. And I just would fantasize, and I'd be in that couch the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So what is a miracle? Well, last night I had a miracle, small, tiny miracle. I realized that I was being competitive with another man in my, this is not OA, this is another fellowship. And I've been competitive with this man for a while now. And it goes back to being a child and a teenager and a young adult, being competitive with men that look like me. And I realized, you know, later on in life, later on in therapy and recovery, that that's my father. And I didn't realize I was doing it last night, and it just didn't feel good. And when I was leaving the meeting, I started to contemplate my behavior, and I realized, I wrote that in my 11 steps, sent that to my sponsor, that I need to do a 10 step on this. I didn't say anything I need to make amends to It's just, I didn't feel good about my attitude and way of showing up. Now, I wouldn't have a chance. I would never even have a snowball hell chance to even have a small awareness of that or the willingness to do anything about it if I was in the food. Those are small, tiny little blessings in my life that they add up over a period of 5-6 years, and my life has fundamentally changed. And I have to tell you, there's nothing, I have to tell you, new people who are suffering, there's nothing that tastes better than absence, nothing. And you will have to go through a detox period. You will go through some pain, and you will have to surrender at a very deep level, and you will have to give up the very food that you can't see envisioning a lifetime without. That is those twin terrors, giving up that one food and detoxing is what every one of us have to go through. If it happens for me, it can happen for you. And with that, I pass back to you, Dora.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Christina J., it's your turn to share. And right before Christina shares, I'd just like to remind people we're on page 25 today, that second paragraph. The great fact is just this and nothing less through one paragraph ending, which we could never do by ourselves. And we're commenting on this one paragraph today. So, Christina, please share, followed by Sally A.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, shout out to all the shares before me that talked about the miracles in this paragraph. And yes, my attitude towards life, towards my fellows, not even only in program and out in the world, has changed. And when I run up against something in myself where I get irritated at somebody, of action that I can do. And that first step is towards not feeling the pain of my projection or their projection on me, is to go to God. And I didn't have that before. I went to the food. And up in the previous paragraph, you know, it talks about the loving light of our pride, confession of the shortcomings, and we don't want to do it. Well, I wanted to do it, and I still want to do it. It's painful because it shows me, it affects my pride. How can I be such an asshole? How can I have such malice? You know, I've had to work on these things. And now I'm in the period of time in my program right now where I'm seeing my whole life. And I'm seeing how I ran my life a certain way from the moment I came out of the chute. And I've been having to let that go. I've had to let that go. It's ingrained in my bones. It's not healthy for me. It's most of the stuff I saw in my four step. I don't get into those character defects, but my mind is grappling with, you have to change the way that you're living. You have to change that you can't live out in the future and have these dreams that are driving you crazy and bringing you to fear. I'm in that kind of emotional period that Bill went through. It's really painful because I'm confused. But I tell you what, every morning I have a miracle. Every morning I go to my meditation chair and I begin to surrender it because it wakes me up at night. And it's very painful because it's in me and I can't change it myself. You see, that's a miracle. We have these steps and this power within us that can help us change. I don't have to try to change it myself, but I immediately try to go into control. I'm going to fix it. How do I do this, God? And I have to just take a breath, step into today, and let God take care of that and ask Him for His mercy to relieve this pain from my heart, that I'm not the person that I grew up thinking I was going to be. All the things I thought I was going to go for, now I have to let go of. So anyway, yes, I'm a miracle today, along with everybody else on this line that has worked this program, and you can have it too. And one more thing I'll say is that I'm so graced my sponsee is doing this, and she is experiencing every miracle in this paragraph, and she's such an inspiration to me, and I'm blessed to have her. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington State. Sally A., it's your turn, followed by Joy M.B., and then I'm going to be taking some more names.
Good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. from New York, although I'm in Dallas, Texas right now. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for the service that you're giving to all of us this morning. Just wonderful shares this morning. I do have to throw that out there. I feel like I'm on a baseball team with a bunch of heavy hitters. It's really sweet. So I just love this page, and I want to just point out that this paragraph is such a paragraph of hope. At the very top of the page, if we come down three lines, it says, so many want to stop but cannot. And that was a lot of us. That was a lot of us, our story, that we couldn't stop eating, that we couldn't control the food, that we would love to just have one, but we would always stop when it was all gone. And it was very painful to be in the food. And then I came into this program and I struggled. I had about three times, I had 5 years of abstinence and what I would guess I would call, I don't want to really call it success, because there's never a failure when we're doing this, when we're working this program. We're really working on what's eating us, what we're eating over. And we never start over. We're always building on what we've already learned. But I was very frustrated, and I've been in this program for 40 years. And when we get to this paragraph, there is a solution. This paragraph is, this book is written by 100 people, basically, who came together and shared their thoughts and ideas. And of course, it was crafted by this wordsmith, Bill W. And they're going into this paragraph. There is a solution, which I'm not going to talk about, but just want to mention that they're giving us the nuts and bolts here, that there is a solution. But when we get to this paragraph that we're on today, the great fact, and it goes on the middle of the paragraph, it says the central fact. So the fact is that it worked for these 100 people that wrote this book. And that's the fact and the central fact that it can work for me. That's hope. So when I was struggling all this time and in the program, in OA, because Jenny Craig didn't work, I would get all of my desserts for the week and eat them all the first night, and Weight Watchers didn't work. I'd get weighed and I'd binge for 4 days, and then I would fast for 3 days and go in and lose 0.2 ounces and everybody would applaud. Those things didn't work. But this is the great fact that the first 100 found, and that they're telling me it does work, this program. Okay. Oh, thank you. But we do have to turn to a greater power than ourselves. Thank you, Dawn. Have a great day, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally A. from New York. Joy M.B., it's your turn to share.
Thank you so much for this morning's meeting. Can I be heard?
You sure can. Go ahead, please.
I cannot say how many things I tried. I crawled into every meeting across San Francisco. I thought there was something wrong with me and my life. I was food was my lover, my friend, my everything. I felt, my life felt like I was climbing Mount Everest. I had to find what was wrong. I went and got another degree, 2 doctorates, a master's. Let's get a law degree. That'll help. What? Can I get another suit? What can I do to not feel like I am as huge as I am, more than 300 pounds, teaching a class, standing on my feet in a university where those around me looked at me rather strangely. I can't tell you how strangely. And so I thought to myself, I've been going to Overeaters Anonymous. I went to every single program. You cannot name a program. The funniest now I laugh at is Dr. Who had us come in, I forget what it was called, 2 or 3 times a week, you take off all your clothes, look at yourself in the mirror, and drink horse urine. Then there was the one where they gave you these little brown, round things, and they said, eat one before your meal, A-Y-D-S. And I ate the whole box the first day I got them and got really sick. Did I stop? No. Once my daughter said to me, Mom, I looked through the Bible, and your name isn't there anymore. With this program, with visions, I have been able to feel as though life is worth living. My friends have all said, who are you? You've changed. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. But if you're struggling to figure out the next meal, if you're struggling to keep your hands out of your mouth, you can't enjoy it. And this program and my higher power, the proper understanding, it's not as though I didn't have a God. I sat on my grandmother's lap when I was 3 years of age reading the Bible. That's how I learned to write. That's how she advanced my knowledge of writing and telling stories and reading so that when I got to school, I was ahead. And I worshiped every Sunday and every moment that I could, but I did not have the concept that this program gives of higher power. So for visions, for all of you who have spoken this morning, for whoever put this together, for my higher power, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. Life is a wonderful gift. For those of you who are wondering, hang on. It's coming. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy MB from California. And now I'm going to take a list of the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 25, the second paragraph. The great fact is just this and nothing less, through one paragraph ending, which we could never do by ourselves. Although we value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
California.
Okay, I believe I heard Margaret O.
Yes.
Judith S.P.
I heard Judith S.P.
Lisa W.
L. Julie B.
Was that Lisa W?
Yes.
And, okay, and Julie P., I heard, I thought?
B.
Julie B., thank you. And one more?
Mary
Michelle.
L.
Mary, was it Mary C.?
Yes, Mary C.
Okay, very good. I sincerely apologize to everyone else. I would love to take everyone, but this is all we have time for, I believe. I have Margaret, Judith S.P., Lisa W., Julie P., Mary C. Margaret O., please get us started, followed by Judith. Star one, Margaret.
Thanks so much, John, for taking the meeting and everyone being here and all the shares so far. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm going to get tearful. I always do this. Sorry. I have an emotional nature. When we read this and, it's just so powerful, you know, it's so clear. It's so adamant. It's just filled with absolute certainty. And it's just a powerful, it's like a tsunami coming in, just like, hey, here's the deal. It's, you know, it's God's universe. You're a part of it. It's a central fact. It's an absolute certainty. Our Creator has entered our hearts and lives in a way that is indeed miraculous. You know, and this is so great. What good news. You know, I wake up in the morning, I do the unawakening, and there we are. You know, we ask God to direct our thinking. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm responsible for my thinking, but I can take good orderly direction. And when I do that, everything changes. You know, I can tell you just today, I had a pretty scarcity kind of agenda going on. And I woke up and it was like, no, you're going to get up and make a huge salad and bring it to their house. And you're going to weigh and measure your food. And you're not going to just step back from lunch. You're going to, this is a visit with friends who I haven't seen in 2 years. And it's just, yeah, you know, get up, wash your hair, just get it all going on, you know, got a good night's sleep. God is just so loving and so merciful, because left to my own, I would do this kind of scarcity isolation thing, like fear-based. No way, that is not happening. Not today and not in my life, as long as I'm letting God run the show. And that's what it's all about. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. And, so thanks for everybody being here. Have a great, blessed, abstinent day.
Beautiful. Thank you, Margaret O. Judith S.P., it's your turn, followed by Lisa W.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. So grateful to be here and recovered for this moment in time. Yeah, I love this paragraph, and I heard a lot of the shares in earlier meetings, and this is really what the gift is, what the most amazing gift. As I was hearing people share, I flashed on when I was a little girl and I grew up in Brooklyn. My mom and I would go downtown Brooklyn to this department store called Mays, and she liked to shop and buy things, and I would just trail around after her, having some time to be with my mother. And then I got lost. I remember getting lost and how frightened I was and scared. Mom, I don't know where you are. I don't know where she was. But somehow, and my recall is a little fuzzy, either someone helped me find her or she ultimately found me. I think she was a little aggravated with me, but so be it. The sense of fear and panic when I couldn't be found, and that sense of abandonment so deep down inside of me, and then the relief and somewhat elation. I don't know if I was that elated because she was pissed off, but I just felt this sense of, and that's what God is for me today. Before I came into these rooms, I was always looking for that safety, that protection, that love that would just always be available to me no matter where I was. And now I have it. And, you know, it's just amazing. All the words in this book, I could take any word and probably meditate on it for a day. Solution, there, miraculous, God's universe, absolute certainty. But what also I'm working on right now is living deeply in my heart center. This book is language of the heart. And my mind, my brain has been so messed up and construed in ways I can't understand that it really needs a full-time vacation. And when I lead with my heart, it is miraculous. And God has commenced to do for me every moment of every day, that which I can never do by myself. And I've surrendered and accepted and live in the grace of God. And it's truly a miracle as a human being in a spiritual body. So thank you for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Judith S.P. from New York. Lisa W., it's your turn to share, followed by Julie B. Star one, Lisa. Okay, perhaps she's there we go.
No, I'm here. Thank you so much for telling me. Lisa W. from Colorado, thank you for calling on me. what I'm thinking about this is, these are the promises and the, the result of the work that we do. I think it might be easy to think, oh, I get in the program and amazing things are going to happen like this right away. And, there's an asterisk here about effective spiritual experiences. And it goes to the appendix and says, sometimes these are of the educational variety. And so they can, sometimes they come over time. And I think, for me, they definitely have come that way. And it's taken quite a bit of time to get to the point where, the Creator has entered in my heart and revolutionized my whole attitude, and having deep, effective spiritual condition experiences. And, my sponsor continues to remind me that she didn't have those right away, and that, sometimes our expectations are, or our beliefs, oh, we're not doing it right because I haven't had this big, amazing revolution in my life. And you know, and I've heard it said that, you know, the purpose of the 12 steps, somewhere in the big book it says, you know, that by the time we get to step 12, we have this, you know, spiritual awakening. And so I just kind of want to put that out there for those of us who might be feeling like, oh, I'm not doing this right. I feel like this is, you know, they're painting the picture of this is what's available for you. And, you know, I love in the next paragraph, it's like, well, you can have do the spiritual solution or, you know, you can go to the bitter end. And it's sometimes I have to tell sponsees, it's like, yeah, this could be bad news for some people. Like the only choice you have is this spiritual experience. And that may not be something you're, you know, thrilled to hear. And so, you know, for me, I've always been searching for God and for solutions, you know, long before I got in the program. But it hasn't come easily, and it's been little spiritual experiences over the time, you know, little steps that expanded my belief and my connection. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Lisa W. from Colorado. Well, we have time for a two-minute share only, so Mary C., I apologize. We're run out of time, but Julie B., please take us out with a two-minute share.
Thank you so much, Dawn. And I apologize for bursting in earlier. I thought you were taking new shares, and I'm sorry about that. I apologize. I only recently figured out that abstinence is not the goal of the program. I was listening to a podcast, and it said abstinence is a tool of the program, not the goal. And that was a good thing to learn. Putting a lot of emphasis on a tool rather than the goal. I have also really been experiencing a lot of measurable spiritual growth, and I'll just give you a really quick example. Somebody at work the other day falsely accused me of not doing a task, and he was mad, and so he sent it, of course, not to me. And he sent an email to my boss, his boss, you know, et cetera, everybody in the world except for me. And when I found out, my first reaction was to be so angry. I was, because righteous anger, right? Because I was accused of something I didn't do. And I was getting ready. I was getting my piano fingers ready, man. I was going to fire off an email back to him and my boss and his boss and the whole world saying, how dare you accuse me? You know, I did that. Here's the confirmation number, blah, blah, blah. And instead, I took a deep breath and I didn't do it. That is gross. Is it time?
Yes, time. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. You don't get to hear the end of the story. Okay. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie B. and everyone. I wish we had more time. Just so appreciate everyone's wanting to share. Please come back tomorrow. We'd love to hear all of you share. So we were now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.